The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Okay, now we've rearranged the furniture. The Lord be with you. Would you please pray with me? Father God, I pray that this would be a time where we sense that we're embraced and drawn to your heart. And Lord, we would experience your love. A love that changes everything because it's unconditional. A love that reaches out to us with grace and favour and delight and seeks to have us with you forever. Amen. Well, friends, as we prepare for Christmas, we've been looking at some of the names that Isaiah gives to Jesus 700 years before he was born. There's a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Over the last couple of weeks, we looked at Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. On Christmas Eve, we'll be unpacking Finding Your Missing Piece, where we talk about the Prince of Peace. Today we're going to explore this topic, Everlasting Father. Friends, I think it's true that our picture of God is largely determined by the sort of relationship we have with our earthly father, for better or for worse. Would you agree with that? I think that's just psychologically what happens. For some of us, our image of God is positive because we had a great relationship with our dad. If your dad delighted in you, affirmed you, encouraged you, always took an interest in you, protected you, watched out for you, and helped you get to know and follow Jesus, you have indeed been blessed. Hands up if you've had a dad like that. All right, well, I rejoice with you. For others, that image has been damaged by negative experiences with our earthly fathers. Some of us had dads who were constantly critical or cranky or impossible to please. Some of us had dads who were physically absent or emotionally absent. Some of us had dads who were abusive, leaving us with a gaping hole in our soul, a father wound. If this has been your experience, there's three important things I want you to know. First is, I am sorry for what you've been through. No dads are perfect. Most dads don't want to be poor excuses for dads. Most dads are trying to do the best they can with the fathering or mentoring they've received and the brokenness they carry. There may be a huge gap between the sort of father your heart always longed for and the sort of person your dad is or was. Let me say, I'm sorry for you in your pain. Second thing, it is critically important for you to forgive your dad, whether he's living or not. Otherwise, that baggage from the past tends to mess with you. It tends to poison you. And that bitterness that you carry, it will spill out onto everything else you do in life. For the sake of your own well-being, for the sake of your emotional and spiritual growth, for the sake of the health of all your relationships and the healing of your heart, you need to forgive your dad. Friends, let me share with you a little of my story. My dad was great at fixing cars. He was a mechanic. When it came to fabricating and welding, he was a master craftsman. People would bring him stuff from everywhere. Can you weld this up? Can you fix this? Yeah, no worries. One of my dad's favourite sayings, which has rubbed off onto me, whenever you do a job, make sure you do it well or properly. And I grew up with that. And there's no way on earth I can deliberately do a shocking job. That's just part of me. It's a good part of me. I don't think that was a bad thing at all. My dad worked really, really hard to support our family, four kids, build up his mechanical business, run an almond orchard and help out in the local church. My dad taught me lots of things about cars. He taught me shooting and how to skin rabbits. Yo! So there's a whole baggage of blessings that my dad gave me and God gave me through my dad. So just bear that in mind up front. But I got to say that from about the age of 10 on, I found my dad difficult to get on with. Now, it might surprise you to know that I was no angel. Hard to believe, isn't it? Yeah, you can guess that, can't you? But neither was I defiant. You see, in our household, there was no secret to who wore the pants. Dad wore the pants. Dad was always right because Dad said so. Some of you are going, yeah, I know what that was like. I know what it's like now. There are periods of weeks or even months when my dad was in a mood, irritable, cranky, and we'd all tiptoe around him so we wouldn't set him off. I don't recall once my dad, ever hearing my dad say he was wrong or admit that he was wrong or apologise for the things he said or did. My dad died in 1995. We were not close. And in a way, it was actually a relief. Oh, I don't have to work out how I can engage with this guy again. But in another way, it was really, really sad because I think about all those years that could have been much better than they were, and there's no way I can get them back. It wasn't all his fault. Some of it was my fault too. But I can't get it back. I can't change it now. Still, I take some comfort in the fact that my dad finished his race trusting and following Jesus. You see, he'd connected with some blokes who'd helped him to unpack his stuff. And he even went to see my mum and apologised about his fault in their divorce. To me, that was a miracle. That was a miracle like raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, here's a guy who's never admitted he's wrong. He went and apologised and said he was sorry. I look forward to encountering him in heaven where things will be good between us again. However, I also realised as I did my journey that I needed to let go of those hurts I carried and to forgive him. And the most significant factor by far in the healing of my father wound has been discovering Father God's delight and love for me in Jesus. You see, once you're secure in that love gives you the capacity to let things go, to forgive and to move on. Which brings us to the third important thing that I want you to know. Look to Jesus to find out what God is like as your Father. Isaiah says he will be called Everlasting Father. Hebrew words, we've been doing this over the last couple of weeks, Avi Ad. Av or Avi is Father. It's a normal Hebrew word for Father, but as soon as you go Avi Ad, Father of Eternity. Isaiah isn't just talking about a mere man here. Isaiah is talking about the eternal God, the Creator, the Lord, the God of Israel. A couple of times in the Old Testament, God is pictured as a father, the one who begets the nation of Israel, brings that nation into existence. God is the father who hears the cries of his children, his people in Egypt. He rescues them, cares for them in the wilderness, brings them into the promised land and wants to bless their socks off. Moses talks about this when the people of Israel are about to enter the promised land. The Lord your God who's going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. So the everlasting Father is the Creator God who cares for and carries his people. And friends, in Jesus, we meet this God up close and personal. That's the miracle of Christmas, isn't it? God Almighty wraps himself up into humanity and comes into the world as one of us. Jesus says in his ministry, I and the Father are one. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Friends, if we ever want to know what God is like as a father, we look to Jesus, and there the picture becomes crystal clear. And it's a wonderful picture. Four things about what sort of father we meet in Jesus. First, in Jesus we meet the compassion of our everlasting Father. I wouldn't ever say that my dad was compassionate, and I generally wouldn't say that I'm compassionate. You know, because the word for compassion in Hebrew, it's womb. You know, the mother's insides that go out to her kid. And in Greek, it's bowels. The word for compassion means an intense gut reaction to the hurt of people around you. And when you become a parent, don't you become more vulnerable? Because when your kid hurts, who hurts? We do. And it doesn't change, does it? Doesn't matter how old your kids get, yeah? When your kids are hurting, it hurts you because your heart goes out to them. In the ministry of Jesus, there's stacks of times where it says Jesus felt compassion or his heart went out to them. In Jesus, it was such a gut-churning reaction to the pain of these people that he loves that he had to get alongside them to fix it, to do something. So we find that Jesus, when people are sick, what does Jesus do out of compassion? He restores them to health. When people are hungry, what does Jesus do? He feeds them. When Jesus turns up at a funeral and everybody's sad and miserable, what does Jesus do? Raises them to life again and cheers them up. Brings these families back together again. In Jesus, we see the Father's compassion for a broken and messed up humanity that always comes towards us to do us good. Amen. Number two, in Jesus, the everlasting Father loves and forgives you. I think from about the age of 10 on, when I think about my heart towards my father, it was one of dread. He was intimidating. What sort of mood's he going to be in this time? What fault or mistake is he going to point to and put me down? Friends, if you take that sort of baggage into your relationship with God, it's going to be a disaster. If you assume that God is always cranky with you, how on earth are you going to be safe enough to open up your heart to God or even ask for his help? Most of us, if you think that God's cranky, spend our lives trying to run and hide from him. And I think that was sort of what I did a bit too. Yes, I'd known that Jesus died on the cross for my sins ever since I was a child. I'd known that and knew that and believed that. But I've got to say, the unconditional love of Father God for me had not yet sunk into my heart. And so my mistaken default option was to try and earn God's favour through my performance. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter how well you can perform in anything, it still can't fill the hole in your heart. Only Jesus can do that. Friends, the Father we meet in Jesus is not angry with you. The Father we meet in Jesus is not looking to find fault in you or to put you down or to give you a hiding. No. Because Jesus has taken the hiding for all our mess-ups and failures on the cross. So when God looks at you, his heart fills with love. When God looks at you, he says, oh, there's another one I'm crazy about. There's another one I'm fond of. There's another one I want to bless. There's one I want to help. There's another one I delight in. There's these kids that I love to pieces. How can I get into their lives and bless them? That's what God is like. And there's nothing on earth you can do to earn that love. It is unconditional. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. I read another preacher in the week. His name's Scott Rogers, and he put it like this. One of the most liberating moments I've ever experienced is the realization that there is nothing we can do to earn God's love. Nothing. Some of you are sitting here today and you've had to perform for maybe dad or for other people. You've performed because you didn't believe people accepted you. And you've taken that approach into your relationship with Christ, and you've been working at it. Man, have you been working at it. You go to church, you read your Bible, you pray, not because you're overwhelmed with the grace of God in your life, but because you feel like you have to do those things, because deep down inside, God doesn't really accept you and love you for who you are. Maybe you've been working really hard to earn God's favour, or striving to do enough good things to get approval from God and get in his good books, at least to a point where you might ask for his help. And maybe that leaves you, has left you feeling exhausted, empty, and I would guess resentful. What have I got to do to get you happy with me? Listen to these words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Stop striving to earn God's favour. Rest in what Jesus has done for you. Because of what Jesus has done for you, God forgives you, accepts you, delights in you, embraces you, and loves you forever. There's nothing on earth you can do to make God love you any more or any less than he already does. Amen? Okay, two more, quickly. Through Jesus, your everlasting Father is always there for you. New Testament, a few times we come across this word Abba, for Father. It's the word that a child always uses of a parent, no matter what age. And a couple pictures, I think. Just imagine a dad taking a child into the marketplace, and the child gets lost in the market amongst all the people and gets overwhelmed. Where am I? And the child cries, Abba! Abba, where are you? Or dad is out working in the fields and kids are playing around, maybe climbing the trees, maybe running along a wall somewhere, and they fall off and get all beat up and bruised and bleeding. Abba! Abba! That cry of a child that's wounded and hurting will want to run to the parent just to find comfort, to be hugged, to be assured that everything is going to be all right, to find peace. Friends, some of you might have taken some tumbles over the last year. Maybe for you it's been one tumble after another, and you're broken and hurting and internally bleeding in your soul. And perhaps there's no one sitting around you who knows your pain. Here's what I urge you to do. Go running, crying Abba to Father God, and take a run and jump into his lap. And he'll wrap his arms around you. He will draw you to his heart. He will remind you of his promises and his love for you. He will comfort you. He will give you peace. And he will assure you, hey, it's going to be all right, because I'm going to bring you through this. No matter what you're experiencing at the moment, we'll get through this together. And he will never, ever let you go. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, says the Lord. And that is echoed in Jesus when he says, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. But even beyond the edge of the age, there's more, which brings us to our last point. Through Jesus, your everlasting Father gives you eternal life. Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you think that your plans for your life are better than God's plans? Or do you believe that God's plans for your life are better than anything you can ever come up with on your own? How far do your plans reach? Because if eternity is not in your plans, then your plans are just too small. God says, I want to give you a hope. I want to give you a future. I want you to do life with me and have eternity with me. Jesus shares these promises with us. Hey, the thief, he only comes to rob and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it to the full. Very truly, I tell you, says Jesus, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, the Father, has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And again, very truly, I tell you, says Jesus, the one who believes has eternal life. Present possession with a future reality. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that he can keep those promises. Jesus' resurrection proves that he is the one who can actually bring us into eternal life. It's the inheritance for all who will trust and follow Jesus all the way home, into our Father's mansion where there's many rooms, enough space for everyone. May God grant that to us all. And the people of God said, Amen.